All right, the final piece that I had, the lap work and leftovers.
Yeah.
So tell me about all of these.
Yeah, so this was a funny exercise. I adore this space so much. So I sort of had this break when I was coming into my thesis year at school where, you know, so I went to a 3-year program. I'm getting out of my second year and I was really wanting to make a turn in my work. And I didn't know how to do that or what was going to go on. And I realized that that my studio being on a traditional campus was like creating this really stagnant energy for me. Because I am like, as much as I play both hands of like rural and urban spaces, I love industry, I love the aesthetics of like crumbling in industry a lot. I really like buildings and structures, and you know, this is why I live in Baltimore right now. So there's not a scene that I'm more in love with than Baltimore. So anyways, long story short, I just like needed to get out of my studio because it was like so pristine and so nice. This is also a shout out to like WCU's master's program. Like they have the nicest studios. Like our facilities are amazing for how small of a school we are. I just needed to be able to watch something else happen outside of my window, outside of this like just utterly breathtaking view, beautiful view of this mountain in front of our campus. Complaining for like no good reason of why I have this artist block living in this beautiful space. But I like decided like I should rent a storefront. And I was thinking about renting a storefront for my show at the end of the semester. But instead I was like, well, what would happen if I rented it out basically for half of a semester? So I was then like just making work as reaction to the space that I was in. And this is a storefront that used to be a kitchen supply store in Dillsboro, North Carolina, which is like the tiny town right outside of Sylva. And like I technically live between those two, but Dillsboro is really cute. And it has like the railroad that runs through it. So there's like this tiny little moment that it looks like a splash of a city for like a second. And I just was thrilled by that. So I went into this space, loved the city around it. And then like, you can see the wood paneling is just like the most spectacular wood paneling ever. And it's so busy. And I loved what a challenge that was because, you know, you like, there's a reason why galleries are white walls. It helps with the work. So I just love this space. And then I just like locked myself in there for about 2 months. And the first piece that I made, like I just walked the perimeter with a piece of yarn. And I kept layering the yarn, listening to a 2-hour long lecture by Noam Chomsky. And I call that piece like Noam Chomsky, War and Peace. And that was really fun as a fun way to get to know the space. And then I like couldn't figure it out. And then I feel like this is just a whole experience of me just finding that I repeat myself all the time, but I like didn't know what I was gonna do. So I gave myself a repetitive task. And I was like, I'm just gonna crochet a rug because so much of my larger work at that point was me using a crochet stitch that you would use to make a rag rug. But I hadn't made a rag rug yet. Like I hadn't just like made a functional thing. So I started making these rugs and I have like a whole massive tangent that I can go down on like rag rugs, but there's a lot of writing on my website if folks are interested. I won't bore people on that, but like there's just this is a concept that's really exciting to me because it connects me directly to a craft tradition in my family, and it's also something that I can like I've been able to do fast and efficiently for a while. So I'm making these things at my house, and then I pull them into the space not knowing what's happening. Then I realize, like, oh my gosh, I've been living in like a granny fantasy space, and I'm just making like granny blankets. And this makes complete sense to me now. And then from there, it was just like playing around and experimenting. So the pieces that are on, that aren't hanging, that are like the gray ones, those are rag rugs as well that I put over top of these like armatures that I made out of trash, essentially. But I put it over that, and then I hand painted them in cement. So there's like 20 layers of cement on those rugs that make them create the shapes that they did. And then the pieces that are hanging are, they're hanging from just like galvanized chain that I've macrameed over top of in some of them, and then some of them I've crocheted over top of them, because macrame is a great idea that takes like just absurd amount of time. Like, it doesn't make sense how long it takes. Like, it's not fair because it looks really great, but anyway, so I had a time crunch, and that's why they're different, but I like them. But but yeah, this, you know, for as heavy concept as the other pieces were, like, this guy is, I gave myself permission to just play around with these elements as just sculptural elements. And so they speak a lot to me about like my connection and obsession with minimalism, this like sort of intersection between like craft and minimalism, because I think by nature craft is so tedious and time consuming, and the hand is ever present, that it doesn't naturally lend itself to a minimalist expression, because minimalism is so about the one solid material, and like you really don't see your hand in a lot of ways if you pull it off in more of the traditional vein. So I just wanted to combine those two and then just play with this idea of like how to create forms that are not reliant on an inner structure. Cause so much of my work, like I said, is like armature based. So using gravity, using tension, using a hardener to like create hollow forms, like all of this was going on. And then thinking about like, you know, I guess my high concept after I created it was starting to articulate what I'm still continuing to articulate. So I don't have all of my thoughts around it like cemented, but just this idea of like, what is working class aesthetics, and like, where do they enter gallery? Where do they enter like art spaces? How can they be used as like a bridge to like basically a bridge and a signal to folks that are experiencing the work that might see themselves outside of the art world? Like, I've become immensely frustrated with how class-based our experiences of art is because of all of these years of underfunding art education and public schools. So you create this space where like only like wealth privileged folks have access continuously, that they don't have to seek it out for themselves. Like, we all have access if we fight for it, you know, in the ways that like you can go and look up articles on the internet about art history. But you know, you look at like wealthy private schools, like they always have art programs. Like, that stuff is never funded. They might be run by the same people that defund art educations on the public school side, but like that's always a thing. So like, it just, whether you had access to that art education or not, is this class signifier. And then if you think about like how, if you were never taught about art, contemporary art history, if you were never taught about these movements, how is art remotely welcoming to you? Like, you walk into a gallery and it's having a conversation that like you were never granted like the dictionary on the words that they're using, or like, let alone the history of how this conversation started. And so I think a lot about like my folks who, especially my dad, who's super supportive, but like didn't have any sort of art education, and him first interacting with like contemporary art, and that super common expression of like, well, I could do this. Why is this here? Mm-hmm. And knowing that, like, that comment represents like 50 years of an internal conversation that like is super internal and no one has access to it outside right. of like privileged folks. So how do you use aesthetics? How do you use formalism? How do you use material language to signal to somebody that like, you don't have to understand everything about me for this to be about, I mean, for you.
Right.
And how like there is something about formalism that can cut through that elitist language to talk about something universal. Like at the end of the day, like I said earlier, like we're all raccoons. We love shiny things. We also love forms. Like we live in objects. We exist around objects. Like you can appreciate formalism without understanding the word formalism or anything like that. So like where there's points in the material that just like, there are decisions that I've made with this material because there was points with how I was interacting that I was just like, oh wow, that made a shape that's really interesting to me. And that interest of just being the sole purpose of keeping that decision, you know, and knowing like that translates, you know, so like you right. don't have to have any of the background that I do, but like forms defying gravity or like sloping in a certain way or creating a certain pitch, like they're just interesting. And yeah, so like I said, I don't have all of my thought process cemented around that. So there's not a good conclusion to that conversation, but I'm just very interested in that space of like, what are working class aesthetics? How do they exist in the gallery space? But also what does it mean for working class people now to like demand and reclaim art as a tool of the working class rather than just like us sort of passively handing over art to the elite.
Right.
And yeah, so I think that's like a thread that I'm continuing to like investigate. And I, like I said, there's not a good way to like put a chapter in on that, but these are the questions
right.
that came out of this piece and that I'm exploring still.
Very cool.